Good morning. It's always good to be here. As I was driving in, I was thinking about some of the first times that I came here and experiences that I had, learning more about the church in the Kansas City area, exploring Kansas City some. Two-week meeting of 1984 was the first time that I spent much time here, and certainly have appreciated being here many times over the years since. As I begin this morning, I'd like to begin with a poem. A poem that expresses a lot of good thoughts, I think, about living, about dying, as a matter of fact, as well, and also the idea of how this poem actually helps tie together a passage that brings a little bit more meaning to me as well. I want to write something on the board before I do that. I'm going to read to you a poem called "The Dash Between." I knelt there at the headstone of one I love and cried, name with dates and birth, names with date of birth and death were perfectly inscribed. I pondered those two dates and how little they both mean when compared to the tiny dash that lies there in between. The dash serves as an emblem of our time here on the earth, and although small, it stands for all our years of life and worth. And our worth will be determined by how we live each day. We can fill our dash with goodness or waste our life away. To ourselves as well as others, let's be honest, kind, and true, and every day live the way we know God wants us to. May we look for opportunities to do a worthy deed and reach out with compassion to those who are in need. For if our hearts are full of love throughout our journey here, we'll be loved by all who knew us, and our memory they will hold dear. And when we die, these memories will bring grateful, loving tears to all whose lives were touched by the dash between our years. Now, some of you may have heard that poem before. It may bring back some type of memory, recollection of it. Some of you may have never heard that poem. But I do appreciate a lot of what the sentiment that it brings. You know, you may or may not recognize, in the case for me, 1967 is the year of my own birth. At one time, that meant I was a young man. If you do a little math now, that means that I've hit the 50s at this stage, just now, this year. But what this poem reflects is that does it really matter the year of our birth or the year of our death? Or is it the dash between that makes the impact? You know, it talks here also about the dash serving as an emblem of our time here. Our worth, it says, will be determined by how we live each day. We can fill our dash with goodness or waste our life away. I want to reiterate this in a couple of minutes too, but you know, I find this passage, this poem, to be very spiritual in nature. And yet, it can be applied to those who may not be as spiritual as well. You know, I find that our worth is determined more than just by what we do. Our worth is determined by our Lord. Our worth is determined by our relationship with our Lord. It's very good to do all these great deeds, but people can do many, many good deeds, but without the Lord, their worth is different than it would be with the Lord. And again, I want to reiterate that in a moment, but just making a few comments about this. I'd also like to bring something else to our attention. I'm going to be spending some time today talking about a particular phrase found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and we'll turn to that in a moment. But the particular phrase is, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, I'd never really thought of it in these terms until I heard this particular poem and made the connection with it. And again, this is a man-made poem. But of course, we as men and women can certainly make spiritual applications from these as well. To me, as you think about this, in a sense, this can represent our life and our faith. But we look to Jesus, who is the what? The author of it. And he is the finisher of it. Before, when it came to the years of our birth and our death, we implied that those were relatively unimportant. But this time, what we see is, as we look to Jesus as the author of our faith, he is ultimately important. As we look to Jesus as the finisher of our faith, he is ultimately important. And of course, the dash between is also extremely important. Another word that my Bible had used both in the marginal notes for both of those words, as author, the idea of originator, he is the originator of our faith, and as finisher, he is the perfecter of our faith as well. And so to go back to that poem for a moment and a couple of passages or chapters or verses that we mentioned there, the dash serves as an emblem of our time here on the earth, and although small, it stands for all our years of life and worth. And our worth will be determined by how we live each day. We can fill our dash with goodness or waste our life away. I don't know about you, but I've noticed in this service today that the word worth or worthy has been mentioned a few different times. One of the songs we sang had the idea of worth. And it seems like either a verse or two that was mentioned or a comment or two had the idea of worth here too. And as I mentioned a moment ago, you know, it is, although small, it stands for all our years of life and worth. Again, there's a great value in this poem, but if all we do is we do good works for others and serve others, and if that is all of our worth, then that's not enough. Yes, it's valuable, just as was read actually in Matthew chapter 25. The way we serve God is by doing all the things that are mentioned there and are implied in this poem as well. But one without the other, and especially without Christ, the worth will be greatly diminished. Our worth will be determined by how we live each day. Well, our worth and our identity, again, is based in Christ. And yes, how we live each day is very much a part of that. We fill our dash with goodness. Goodness in Christ. These are some important things I believe to remember with this. Go ahead and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll spend a little time by looking at the passage in particular, maybe a little context around it. Yes, the most important part of the lesson deals with looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, but there's some context to gain here too. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll go ahead and begin with the first verse there. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we'll pause here to remind ourselves that, of course, in the chapter before, Hebrews chapter 11, there were many men and women of the Bible who were mentioned with their great faith. And so as it begins by talking about being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the idea could very well go back to the previous chapter, the cloud of witnesses of faith. Now, our faith is also based then on the idea that we are ready to run the race with Christ as well, laying aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. We run with endurance the race that's set before us. As we continue on then and look at the beginning of chapter 2, we've made reference to this phrase then already in our lesson, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What does it mean when it says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith? Well, if we let the verse explain itself, it goes on to say, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Within this verse, I believe we find at least one meaning, being the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author of our faith through the cross. Do you think he joyfully looked forward to the cross itself? Highly unlikely. What's the word that's used here? He endured the cross. You see, there was something greater. Because of the purpose that he had, he was willing to endure the cross. You know, in our own lives, and while I'm some of the things I may say may not rise to the level of Christ, in our own lives, are there things that we are willing to endure because we know the prize that's about it? For Jesus, it was the salvation of the world, in essence. For him, he knew that he had created it, the world. He had created the earth. He had created all those who become a part of the earth, all those who are born. He very much is a part of our birth, and very much a part of our spiritual birth as well. And because of this, I believe he had great joy. The joy was in our salvation. The enduring was he was very willing to endure the cross. But it was through the cross that he became the author of our salvation. He was very willing to despise the shame. And then, of course, he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the one who will be our ultimate judge. And there we have the idea of being the finisher of our faith as well. We'll go just a little bit further there in verse 3. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest ye become weary and discouraged in your own souls. And again, there's much that could be said if we were to continue on verse by verse with this. But I think part of the encouragement here is encouraging us to be able to endure trials as well. Obviously, when you reflect upon this in terms of the direct connection at the time, there were many who were enduring great trials, tribulations because of their faith. Every one of us who are in this room today will endure great trials. It may be because of our faith itself, or it may be because we are human. We are perfected, and our faith is perfected by those trials as well. But Jesus endured these hostilities against himself, and we also will endure, so we can find the same joy as well, Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. As we talk more about Jesus being the author and finisher of our faith and what that may mean, before we do so, I'd like to notice an interesting word here. In verse 2, as it starts out, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I don't know exactly what version you're reading from today. It may or may not use the word our. We know different versions use different things. So sometimes as we key on particular phrases in the Bible, others may be reading things where that phrase isn't there. But if you notice, the word our is actually in italics. And as I understand, when things are in italics in our Bible, what that indicates is the word our was not part of the original transcript. It's been added because, of course, as you translate from one language to another, sometimes things can flow fairly easily in a sentence, and sometimes a word or two may be added simply to help the sentence flow. In this, because if it wasn't there, it may not make as much sense in English. In this case, I believe what I'd like to do is for a moment delete the word our. We want to look at both of those. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, as well as looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. To me, there's a great impact and thought about both of these. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith overall. He is also the author and finisher of your faith and mine. In the greatest of senses, the gospel is about Jesus Christ. In the greatest of senses, as he died, the gospel was preached and opened to all. But it was also preached and opened to you and to me as well. So one of the values I find in this is the idea of the whole plan of salvation, the entire gospel, as well as you and I. You see, there is a general faith, and then there is a personal faith. And to me, there's a value in thinking of both of those. Jesus is the author and finisher of all of our faith, of those who have lived before. Everyone who has come to the faith has come through Christ, the author and finisher of each of our individual faiths as well. Let's continue on by thinking about some of the specifics that may be meant in terms of author and finisher of our faith. The first thing I would say is, before the earth was created, was Jesus alive? And the answer very much is yes. How is Jesus uniquely qualified to be the author of your faith? Well, first of all, he created the world. He created as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As God is the only being in the world that has existed throughout all eternity. Before the earth was, Jesus was. So obviously, he's the author of it all. Before Adam was born, who helped to create Adam? I really shouldn't say born when it came to Adam. He created Adam. He gave life to all that was on the earth in its early days, as well as life to all of us who are here today. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was in heaven, and yet he was willing to come to the earth as well. He knows all things about heaven, and he knows all things about earth. He was declared to be the Son of God as he arose from the grave, as he gave his life first on the cross, and then by the power of the resurrection, he was declared to be the Son of God. This is where we see Jesus as the author of faith. From the beginning, he did all of this with this purpose in mind, your salvation and mine. Again, both in the broader sense as well as in the personal sense. It's at this stage that faith comes into being. He's the author and finisher of our faith. You know, I was also sitting there and thinking, and it's been on my mind in the last few days as well. And this can be a personal statement to many, too. But as we are born into the world, and as we think about families over the years, there are children who embrace the gospel, and there are children who do not. In my own family, there are those of us who have been, and brothers and sisters who have continued. We were all taught the ways of the Lord. Some of us have embraced that and become Christians and lived many years that way. And some of our brothers and sisters and children have not. But again, here it is where faith comes in. He's the author and finisher of the faith of anyone who will have faith in him. But we are the ones that then choose as to whether he will become the author and finisher of our faith. He's told us the truth through the Bible. We are the ones who need to accept it, believe it, and obey the truth of the gospel. It's up to us to confess Christ, to repent, to be baptized for the remission of sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to rise and live that life. And then he can begin the finishing work of our faith as well. In general, when I talk about the finisher of our faith, we'll think about him as the final aspect of this. But also as he, not only as our author, but the finisher of our faith. I basically had five ideas before as the author, and we'll briefly talk about five ideas as the finisher. I haven't really declared them and numbered them as such, but I've got five that are mentioned here. But the point too is, as we are baptized, we then receive the gift of the what? Holy Spirit. This afternoon, I'm going to spend some time talking about the Holy Spirit. In a sense, is the Holy Spirit a perfecter of our faith? And I think the answer is yes. As we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, one of the whole values of that is that the Holy Spirit can help us as we are sanctified. Yes, on one hand, as we are sanctified, we become immediately sanctified and holy, but yet there is a progressive aspect to this as well. And that is part of the idea of perfecting or becoming the finisher of faith as well. So the Holy Spirit helps in the finishing of our faith. We receive that gift. The rest of the time that I'll talk about Christ being the finisher of our faith, the idea will be at the judge. If you remember here at the end of verse 2, it talked about him sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. As he is seated at the right hand of God, on the judgment day, he is our final judge. He will be the one to reward the faithful. He will be the one to give the crown of righteousness. How did Paul phrase it? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me at that day, and not to me only, but to all of those who love his appearing. So there's a great value as we think about Christ, both as author and finisher of our faith. You know, another aspect, and really the last major aspect that I'd like to briefly talk about with this, as to me, as I hear Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, I think about a great finality that's here. It doesn't say Jesus might be the author of our faith. He may be the finisher of our faith. But Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. You know, over the years, how many spiritual leaders have arisen? How many religions are there around the world right now? And yet, I believe that there is only one who has ever lived who is the author and finisher of faith. I won't pick on, as I mentioned a couple of religions, it's not to pick on them at all, but is Buddha ever declared to be the author and finisher of faith? And my response as a Christian is, Jesus is the one who is the author and finisher of faith. The earth, according to biblical dating, would be about 6,000 years old. I just mentioned one. I mean, you can go to Muhammad and others. Men who have risen over the years, and women, and many who have followed them. And yet there is one who is the author and finisher of faith. This morning we come together to worship the author and finisher of faith. And you'll notice at this stage I did not say our faith. Certainly he is the author and finisher of our faith, but that finality of it, the broadness of it, the author and finisher of faith. You know, in our society today, we talk a lot about inclusiveness and diversity. And is there great value in being inclusive? Sure. Is there a great value in diversity? God created all, red and yellow, black and white. There is very much a spiritual and a biblical perception of both diversity and inclusiveness. But yet, as it's been preached in our society today, as our government officials and society have embraced diversity and inclusiveness in all of its areas, what happens is we end up raising certain individuals and situations to the same level as Jesus Christ. May we as Christians, as we view and live in society today, may we not allow these philosophies of men to cloud our vision. And may we remember that as we continue to look, and I look this way and you look my way, but as we think and we look at, consider the North Star, and I guess that's probably that way if I'm right in this building. As I look around, I think it's that way. But anyway, as we glance to that which is our ever eternal source of direction, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Live in our society today, appreciate it for what it is and its benefits, but don't allow it to distract our view. Always love, honor, and worship, and hold to be greatly worthy the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. This morning, as we draw this lesson to a close, many among us have confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. There are those among us who have not yet confessed that. But if you are here this morning and you strongly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are ready to make Him the author of your faith and allow Him to continue to perfect your faith throughout the years, and to allow Him at the end of your life to be the finisher of your faith as well. That journey is the first step, is to come forward, to confess Christ as the Son of God, to repent of your sins, to be baptized in the waters for the remission of sin, and then to rise to live that life for Him. If this is your desire or you have anything else to bring before us, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.